The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. I'm your host, Rick Thompson. And you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM on Skidmore Radio. And if you want to call in at any time, the phone number is 518-580-5783. This morning, I want to welcome our guest, Wendy Libertor.
Hi, Rick.
And I won't say old-time guest because you've been on for years and always enjoy having you on. You're on two or three times a year, and it's always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you, Rick. Nice to see you, too.
It's always good to see you. I want to get into it right away because there's so many subjects, so much going on in Saratoga that it's getting a little scary in some areas. But the first one I wanted to talk to you about is downtown nightlife, because that seems to be one of the two or three predominant issues that are going on in Saratoga. And I do have to say, and I said this to our guest last week, Michael Phillips, who's running for DA, that I want you to know where I'm coming from on this. Our City Commissioner of Public Safety, James Montagino, is probably one of the worst commissioners that Saratoga's ever had, of any commissioner of the five in the history of Saratoga. I think he's one of the worst. And I think that, and I don't know if the one before him was, 100% there, but I think a lot of problems that are being caused in City Hall under his department is because of him. We had that incident with the young boy that was kicked, and then the family wanted to drop the lawsuit because he had so many concussions in the past that they didn't feel that they caused it. And there was a little blame on both parts. Well, if I'm wrong, Wendy, I want to talk about this a little bit. He had let the lieutenant, a female lieutenant, dropped her in rank. First he eliminated the assistant police chief.
Yes.
Then that gentleman became a lieutenant, went to his old post.
Yes.
Then the person that was a lieutenant got busted down to sergeant.
Yes.
The sergeant got busted down to patrolman. And then he let the female officer go because of something he had related to the case that didn't really relate to the case, I don't feel, and I'll let you talk about that. But I think there's probably going to be a potential lawsuit about that because, she probably shouldn't have been let go. But anyway, what's your take on all of this?
Well, I wouldn't say that the Commissioner of Public Safety, Jim Montagino, is the worst ever. I think he's the only one willing to make some changes. And change is hard. And nobody in City Hall, especially in the police department, wants to see those changes take place. And I think that's the problem. Whether he should have eliminated the assistant chief position, that is debatable.
Okay.
But the issue with the lieutenant and being suspended for not pressing any charges is a pretty serious one. This boy was really beaten pretty badly. And the police said no charges should be lodged against these kids because the kids had concussions before. The victim had concussions before, therefore the suspects should be let go. The problem with that is the parents did want charges pressed. And
the problems of the child that...
The victim's parents wanted charges pressed against the kids that beat him up.
Right, but didn't they end up not wanting them to go forward?
Well, yes, because what happened was, all right, so they decided to not press any charges after it became a big hoo-ha in public safety or in City Hall. They wanted charges pressed, the kids arrested, but after they were told, we're not doing that by the police, they went to the Commissioner of Public Safety, please do something. These kids should be held accountable. Montanino got involved, and the lieutenant at the time said, no, we are not pressing charges because he's prone to concussions. And so he suspended her. It turned into this
big
whole,
brahu.
Right.
But one of the things, you can go on because there's still a lot to this, but he made several, I think, mistakes, and I think that are pretty serious, and they may not be, but in my eyes, they are. He went to the press. Now, anytime an open case is going on and the press asks a police officer or a commissioner, you know, what can, and they always say, it's an ongoing case, I can't make a comment right now. Well, this guy went to the press and vilified the police officers, and at one council meeting held up a piece of paper that said that he said that the case was closed.
Yes.
Which, all right, I had read where that was a mistake, a typographical mistake, that whoever typed up that piece put closed and it should have been open. But there were so many other supporting documents that it was an ongoing case that as a police commissioner, he should have known that. And I think he did that as grandstanding. That's why I don't think much of the guy for doing stuff like that. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you how I got the story. So I heard it as a rumor. I called Jim Montanino. He would not talk to me about it. Then he sees that somehow it got leaked from the police department. It was all over that Moving Saratoga Forward Facebook page.
Right.
And he said, okay, if the cops want to talk about it, I'm going to talk about it. He called me, and he told me what happened. The case was closed. As far as all the paperwork goes, if they want to say it's a typo, they can. But the case was closed, and then Hagen said it was open again. The district attorney, Karen Hagen, you know, because she also jumped into this fray.
Right. But I think at the time he held that paper up in early April, the case was still open, but it was a mistake because I don't know who I got this from or where I read it, and it could have been a mistake, but they said there was other supporting documents that it was an open case. I think it ended up closing on the 15th or something, you know, and then it was, like you said, reopened, but this was April the 4th, and the case was still open, and they said, as commissioner, if he didn't know that, then he shouldn't be commissioner. He should, if he wanted to immerse himself that deep, make himself the central focal point, he should have known everything that was going on about that case.
Well, as far as all the paperwork shows, it was closed at the time that he discussed it. It was not open.
Okay.
Somehow it got reopened, so perhaps so they could go after Jim. There's a problem that the police are really angry with him.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, they have more power to do things than he does, even though he's, you know, oversees them. So I think, it's debatable.
Yeah.
So he did go public because they had gone public.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, I don't.
With a case that was apparently closed by all paperwork shows that it was closed.
Reopened. Okay. Well, you know, I'm not political in any means on the show. The only thing I think people know about me is that I'm very pro-charter change.
Yes.
I mean, you know, anybody. I have people from all over different parties, and I may not agree with them, but nobody would know it on the show except for this police commissioner. But I know that's what the perfect, this is another perfect example of a commissioner form of government, in that you have your heads of the departments, albeit the police or a chief or the fire chief or whoever, run their own department. Then you have the person that runs the department to blame, and if you want to discipline them, the council can, or if you want to remove them, the council can. But when you have a commissioner as a go-between who may not know the ins and outs of police work, as immersing himself in a really wacky case, and I only say wacky because so much was going on, and I personally wouldn't have if I was a commissioner. Plus, he was tearing down other commissioners before him on another case. You know, there's a professionalism thing, I think, when you become a political person. I don't think, even in presidents, maybe in the past 10 years, but they never used to knock the person they took over from. I mean, it was just a unwritten rule, you know.
Right.
And today people are blaming everybody. And you know what? Maybe there was things that were wrong, and but that's up to, I think that's up to, you know, the police. And the commissioner at the time, whether you like him or not, I thought, answered a lot of things. They may have been able to do something a little different, but, you know, I think it all boils down to, in a case like that, the DA. I mean, they have the authority to do a lot more things. So, I just think that because a commissioner, to me, doesn't do anything. You can hire a person off the street, a liquor salesman, to become a commissioner if he's popular enough.
Right.
What the heck does he know about police work? You know?
Well, he Montanino used to train police down in Westchester County.
Yeah.
He's very involved. He's probably has more police experience than any other previous commissioner.
But he was a prosecuting attorney too.
Yes,
what do they know?
Too.
I mean,
and a law professor. And
yeah.
Well,
if he's all of that, he should have known to keep his mouth shut instead of going to the press until things got ironclad where you could, you know, I don't know. I
think the family would have liked that only because they have now become targets of the community. You know, a lot of people know who this kid is that got beat up. And
who divulged the name? Wasn't it?
Nobody.
Mention the name?
No, but it's just, you know, it's a small city.
Yeah.
People know, everybody knows who this kid
right.
is, if you're in high school, that is.
Oh, okay.
So,
I just graduated 2 years ago. So
yeah,
I know.
So, but going back to commissioners and our commissioner form of government, this is the problem with having commissioners who should only be worrying about legislation,
exactly.
but they're also administrators.
Exactly.
Which they should not be.
Who don't even run the department, they're assistant commissioners. Deputy commissioners do the day-to-day work. It's a very convoluted form of government.
Well, because Montanino is retired, he's in there. Just like Skip Scirocco worked full-time as a commissioner,
right.
running his department
right.
because he had the time to do it.
Well, I remember John Frank quoted from the council table one time, who was against charter change.
Yes.
But he said, in this form of government, you either have to be very wealthy, you have to have your own business, or you have to be retired.
Exactly.
So that's the only way you can do a good job in that position.
Yeah, totally.
And unfortunately, we don't have very many of those all the time. I mean, you know, you got practicing
right.
attorneys who are in court or whatever with clients
right.
during the day, and you can't run a department like that.
There's only one person retired on the council now, and that's Jim Montanino. And,
right.
you know, Jason Golub works. Ron
yep.
Kim works, Manita Semby works,
yep.
and so does Dylan Moran. So,
you got three lawyers out of five council members.
Yes.
And, it's just, I mean, I don't want to get into the form of government because
right.
that may come up in another year or two. But it is the lousiest form of government that I think, when you look at it and what the what the commissioner can do outside of his department to help get things, which is nothing. Can't do anything. And which, you know, that's another story. So,
you're hearing that there's going to be more push towards charter change again?
So, I think in a year or two there will be. I think every year as we get more outside people moving in, they... the thing is, when you're involved in something politically, you see it in a different light than people that aren't involved. You know what's going on, and you're passionate about it. And other people, they, you know, as long, the old saying here was, as long as you turn your faucet on and water comes out and you get your leaves picked up, what more do you want?
Exactly.
Taxes are pretty good here and everything else. So what are you worrying about? Well, if they knew how this form worked, I think they'd be a little upset.
Yes.
But the more outside people come in that aren't used to this form of government, I think are we only lost by 10 votes a couple years ago. Now we did get beat by 1,200 votes the second time, but I think it was too close.
I think so, too.
Even though the people on that commission were very knowledgeable and they were very diverse and very professional, I mean, that should have been the 2 years before when it lost by 10 votes, because I think that would have pushed it over. They were very, very knowledgeable. But, yeah, I think in a couple of years, I feel, I know the charter calls for every 10 years, but I think it keeps people on their toes if you do it every couple of years. I mean, they got the... No party would ever endorse charter change. 2 years ago, the Democratic Party endorsed charter change. Republicans won't budge on it.
Right.
So,
which I'm not sure why.
I've got my opinion on it, and I may be wrong, but I think, you know, the town was strictly Republican. As many towns were either Democrat or Albany was, like, solid Democrat for years. Gloversville, where I grew up, was very Republican. The tannery owners ran the city, and unfortunately, they didn't want new business to come in because the leather mills were booming back then, employed almost everybody in the two cities, and they felt outside business would come in, take their employees away, even though they were very well paid, because it was not too good of a job. But a lot of people, you know, depending on what area you're in, you know, but... and I think what's happening is every city's changed. Now it's not controlled by one party. Those days of the party bosses are gone. But I think Saratoga, the people that are don't want to give up the reins. And I think you'll see that
disappear.
Well, they
kind of have. I mean, every single person on the council is now a Democrat. And our two supervisors, we only have one Republican.
Well, but I'll tell you what's happened in that is... with the increase of, I call them outsiders. Once you're in Saratoga, you're a Saratogian. It doesn't matter where you came from. But I mean people out that moved in from, say, downstate or from another state or whatever, when they come in, they are a political party member. Well, most of them are Democrats. And what's happened is the Republicans held a huge edge in city registration and county registration. Well, now the Democrats have a higher registration citywide, and they are either ahead or they are creeping up all the time on the Republicans.
Yes.
So I think there's more of a, this is the way you're going to vote, or you don't get a job, or this is the way you vote, or, you know, that's gone.
Yes,
but
it is.
But some of the people with money who... put money into good places and give big money to candidates, I think they still have a little bit of an influence that they won't have in maybe 5 or 10 years.
Mm.
And like you say, I mean, Democrats have won the past 5 or 6 elections the last 12 years.
Yes.
You know, more Democrats are getting elected now, where, I mean, 20 years ago, that wouldn't have been heard of.
Right.
You know, so times change.
Yes, Saratoga's changing.
And Saratoga's changing. And you know what? I mean, it's not for the bad. It's good to have a mix on. I mean, political ideology debate is good.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's very good. I never want to see, even I'm on the board of the credit union, and you never want to rubber stamp everything that comes up because you could be wrong. And it's always good to hear both sides.
Right.
But anyway, so this case now, as far as concerned, is dead, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Although the parents might bring a lawsuit against the police.
The police.
Because of their inaction.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's doable. I think the police are going to get, not the police, but that department, the commissioner, whoever's in charge, is going to get hit from a lot of sides. The female officer, I would assume, is going to file a discrimination charge. I just think she shouldn't have been handled like that. I really don't. And if it was a guy, would he have been handled any different? I don't know. But
I don't know. Montanino said he told her some charges have to be filed against this kid for what he did to the other kid.
Yeah.
And she said, who's going to file them? You know, he said she was being insubordinate. Like, we're not doing it. I dare you.
But what did she have? Why couldn't the chief file the charges? Why should she have filed the charges?
That's another
thing. The buck stops somewhere. Shouldn't stop with a lieutenant when you have a chief of police. Kick it up to the top.
Right.
The
well,
buck
yes,
stops
it was
with
kicked
him.
Up to Laura, you know. And,
yeah.
So.
I don't know.
Yeah. If you don't understand the inner workings of the police department, which I don't, then, you know, it's hard to say.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm a professional in that either,
right.
you know, but you see things, and I may be totally wrong. I'll admit it. I'll be the first one to admit it. But when you know things, I don't know. I always said to my wife, I should have never got involved 25 years ago when that city charter changed, because from then on, you're just involved and things get you agitated.
Yes,
and I said, it would have been nice just not even worrying about this
stuff, you know? But you do know, Rick, that the suspects in this beating, one of them is the grandson of the Mechanicville mayor, and he has since been arrested for severely beating a man in Mechanicville.
Oh, really?
A man he was vacationing with in South Carolina.
Oh, boy.
So.
And what form of government do they have in Mechanicville?
Yes.
Is it a commission form of government?
Yes, yes.
That there's only like 40 left in the whole country between
towns?
Yes,
there's only two in New York State, and there are Saratoga Springs
and Mechanicville. And I heard maybe earlier this year Mechanicville is going to put a vote up to change.
They were, and then they killed it.
Oh, and they killed it?
Yes.
Hey, Gads.
Yes. So
this is what happened.
Back to the commission form of government again.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. That's why you're so knowledgeable. That's why you're the best reporter in this area. You really are. Well, the next case, and there's always cases now.
Yes.
The bar scene in Saratoga, it's gotten worse, but there's always been a problem. Saratoga has been two things in its history, a gambling town and a bar town. And I think it used to be more fun in the older days. And I'm saying older days for me, but I'm saying like 70s and 60s and that, when Skidmore was an all-girl college.
Yes.
And you had guys coming from all around the area to hang out in the bars. And
the Tin and Lint.
Yeah, Tin and Lint. And then there was the Rafters, was it?
Yes.
Out by the lake.
Yes,
and,
the Rafters.
You know, I mean,
a lot of dancing.
Right. A lot of dancing, a lot of drinking, a lot of partying, you know, pretty girls. And and that's, you know, and that was good. But there's always been problems in Saratoga, you know. But it seems, I don't know, like it's getting...
Well, it's totally out of hand.
Totally out of control.
Caroline Street is definitely a problem. And Maple Avenue, too.
Yeah.
Apparently, they start... now people are starting to party in that old Saratogian parking lot.
Yeah,
they get juiced up first, and then they go to the bars.
Yeah.
And it's there's fights... all up and down, you know. I know Gaffney's being blamed for a lot of it, but there's fights from
all over the place. Yeah,
yeah, on Maple Avenue and Henry Street, and up and down Caroline Street.
Yeah.
I mean, fights every single night.
And we're talking about knifings.
Yes.
I mean, at least on the weekend, every weekend there's somebody.
And a man was killed last summer in front of Clancy's.
Yeah, It's getting, I mean, it's, and a lot of people, I don't mean, I don't, when I mean a lot, don't think I'm meaning like hundreds of people, but a lot of people won't go out at night downtown to the restaurants later. I mean, we always had, the restaurants are great, always had a late crowd, especially in the summertime, but they're afraid to go downtown.
Well, as long as they're not downtown at 2 o'clock or after, it seems like every single incident happens after 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's like 2 o'clock is the magic hour where people, 2 a.m., people just go bananas.
Well, you know.
They're super drunk. And
yeah. You know, I remember I worked at the Holiday Inn when I was 15. And for, I don't know, a number of years. And then I went back bartending when I was 30. And I had my day job, and I would work nights bartending. And we'd go out partying. Our bar happened to close at 1 o'clock. But a girl that used to be a waitress owned a bar and a restaurant, and that's where all the bartenders and waitresses went after their... And they were open before. They have a 4 o'clock closing hour. But my grandfather always said, you know, this old Italian man, who he never wanted me to go to work at the restaurant when I was 15, you know, but... He said, if anybody's out after 2 o'clock, they're just out looking for trouble.
He is so right.
Well, you know, and I said, gee, Grandpa, you know, I was 15 years old, but I knew one day I'd be out until 4 if it happened. But, no, I think that's a true saying. If you out after 2 o'clock in the morning, you're looking for trouble.
Well, you look at the police blotter, and it's all... That's the hour, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the police are getting beat up themselves
down there.
I mean, you see, look at these videos of the fight. People are punching the cops in the head. And
we're understaffed as it is on the police force. So if you get two police officers out after every fight on a weekend, we're going to be down to, like, two horses.
Well, and because a lot of police officers are angry with the commissioner, a lot of people are retiring, like Sean Briscoe just retired.
Yeah.
And
or they're moving laterally to another city's police department.
Right. Yeah. And, yes, and the problem with Saratoga Springs Police, too, is you can't move up the ranks unless you were a officer there.
Patrolman first.
Yeah. So it's not like Saratoga can bring in other police officers from other areas.
Because I know other police departments, like where our officers are going laterally, I think that I'm using a city. I'll take a city like Schenectady.
Yes.
You can move up.
Yes.
If you, whatever rank you're at going in, there you can move up the ladder without having to start out as a patrolman.
Right.
Albany,
too.
Yeah. I think the cities all should be that way. That's an incentive to get police. Back when Ken Ivins was finance commissioner, and we had that loss of revenue and everything, and they had to fire or let go so many police.
Yes.
Then they started bringing some back. And I forget who the commissioner was back then of Public Works, Richard Wirth.
Mm-hmm.
So I went up to him and I said, Mr. Wirth, you know, Gloversville are letting some police go. And I said, you know, they're already trained. You don't have to train them. I mean, maybe they have to go through a week or two, but not six months.
Right.
And I said, you know, and I know the chief down there, and he was saying they'd love to go to Saratoga.
Yes.
And they never took them. They left the level low, and
yes.
They were trying to hire, but I don't know why, but maybe because of the lateral. He didn't want to hire somebody outside, but, I mean, it's foolish. You should give an incentive for somebody to be able to come over from another city if they don't have a problem there, and, you know.
Yeah, and that's another thing Montanino wants to change, but I have no idea what the police think of that.
I think it would be a perfect... I would give him credit for that.
Yes.
I would say...
He wants to do that, but I don't know if there's resistance.
Right.
It has to go through civil service, basically, The
city civil service,
yes,
correct.
City civil service has to agree to that, and I'm not sure they have yet.
Yeah. Well, you know, here you go again. I think it's too bad that you got to
Yeah, because they need
so
more
officers.
Be
so difficult. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Like you said, people are leaving. Officers are
right.
leaving, so
officers
there's a problem there.
Officers are leaving. They're disgruntled. They're angry at Montanino, and, yeah.
And what are you going to do, you know?
Right.
Hey, listen, everybody out there in Wonderland, you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio, and if you want to give a call, this is your only chance to do it. People tell me, you know, I listen to the rebroadcast of the podcast because I can't listen to the show. I mean, we get over 600 likes every week. I know you're listening. Call in if you have a question. You can disguise your voice. Nobody has to know who you are. Talk like Darth Vader, you know? I mean, it's okay. I want to tell you the, I don't know if I have it, when we got talking about the bar scene in Saratoga, I wanted to play a little song for you, Wendy. And, yeah, I got to figure out which one it is now. I wanted to start by playing this. It's just a little goofy thing. You know I'm goofy. Okay, that's enough of that.
Who's Darth Vader in this
I don't
in
know.
This scenario?
I don't know. We'll have to throw names in a hat and pick one
yeah,
out.
Okay.
You know,
there's a couple, but
yeah, you don't want to, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, yeah, downtown is going to have to change. And I feel bad for Gaffney's. I really do. I mean, they may have charges that are correct against
right.
them. But I feel bad that one business has to be targeted. And
right. Then they bring in a lot of people. I mean, really, it is the most popular bar.
Yeah.
And when you have that many people coming into the city, I don't know. But, you know, there's issues at other bars as well.
Oh, definitely.
And it's all of them, except Gaffney's brings in even more people, so.
Right. I think because, see, Gaffney's wasn't what it is now. It was a bar, and it was a restaurant. It was a nice restaurant. And a lot of people used to go to the bar, but it never got out of hand, it seemed. I mean, maybe once in
now
a while in the summer.
Dance club.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're playing wild music, and people get riled up when you get wild music because you try to keep up with the beat, and you may be beating somebody else, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
But I hope it's resolved. I mean, I think what's going to happen in the future is we're going to see in restaurants food fights.
Oh, maybe.
I think it's going to get down to that, food fights.
Yeah.
So,
that'd be nice if it was only food
fights. If it was only food, yeah. But they probably end up throwing forks, and officers would get hit in the head with a fork or whatever.
Yes.
I don't know. I just hope it will change. And I think earlier closing hour. I know the bars resisted that a couple years ago when they proposed that. But they may feel now that it might be better. Maybe
it'll
help.
Well, the only way to institute it is to have the county agree.
Oh, yeah, it's
a
county.
The county won't agree.
Yeah, I know. It's a county.
Because that means the other bars, like in Galway or, you know, Clifton Park, they'll all have to close.
Corinth or, Mechanicville or
yes.
whatever, yeah.
So,
and we're a huge county. Clifton Park, I mean,
yes.
I can see that, but it's... Here again.
It's another problem that I don't know what the answer is.
I don't know. No, it's like a tiger chasing its own tail, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You can't catch up with it and see what's going on. Well, we have a couple of things to talk about. I know there's some more things to do with the city, but I want to break off a little bit and talk about what's going on in Saratoga School District. There was an article in one of the papers. Let me see. I've got so many papers here because I can't remember. I'm not like you, Wendy. I haven't got it down pat, you know. But some parents have said that there's a teacher who they had problems with during the Black Lives Matter period that we went through where a lot of the protests and that. And he was talking to his students in class. I think they were ninth graders, which, they should know about it. But he was more of an activist. I don't think you should, teachers should impose their own beliefs on the students. I think they can talk about subject matters that might be a little bit, but don't insert your...
Well, the teacher assures everyone he was not. He was just had the Black Lives Matter people come in and talk.
Yeah. But when your kids have phones these days and they record everything, I think, you know, it's like the police. They wear the body cams. You can't do anything today without somebody whipping
That's
out
true.
Their camera. And in dangerous situations, I don't want to say it makes me laugh because it doesn't. But a person that needs help and a person that's filming it that won't go to help the person, I think it's idiotic, you know.
Yes.
But anyway, the newest thing now is this curriculum of sex education.
Yes.
And parents have said their kids have come home and said they watch R-rated movies, but they're asked to leave the room if they don't want to watch them. And they're using language that I wouldn't use with another person, you know, body parts and how to, you know, do it. And I don't know. I just don't know. So there's a big thing now. They feel the board's not being transparent enough. Parents have been pulling their children out of public school and putting them in parochial school, whether that be their homeschooling or
yes.
parochial schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in the belief, and I know a lot of people aren't, that money should follow the children. I mean, if you decide to go to a parochial school, then the state should pay the tuition because you pay school taxes. If you want to homeschool, I think the school does provide some sort of assistance for
the
that.
The school provides transportation. I think that's it.
For the homeschool?
Homeschool, or if you go to public, private school.
Parochial school. Yeah, they do. School. They do.
Yeah, I don't know about homeschool.
But I think, I have several friends who homeschool their kids, and they have to, I think the school provides the materials, because they have to check in with the school to show how their kids are doing. I mean,
okay,
you
good.
Don't want the kids to sit home watching cartoons all day when
right.
you're saying you're homeschooling them.
Yes,
you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Yep.
But it seems when it comes to really parochial school other than transportation, I'm from the belief that you pay school taxes and that the money should follow the child. But who am I? But they're having problems, and the parents are going to board meetings, and a lot of them don't want to go because they said, if, just like with this case with the child that was beat up, if the kids know who is complaining, that they'll take advantage of their kids. Now, one of the things that I was reading in some of the papers was that there's becoming a big drug issue in schools. There's monitors outside the restroom, men's,
yeah.
boys and girls' rooms,
mm-hmm.
but there's at times 5 girls in one stall that are doing cocaine or vaping. And, God, when I went to school, that was not even...
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that was only 10 years ago, but no. I digress. but it's just, I don't know what's going on today, you know? And
yeah, I'm not sure about the drug problem in school. I mean, a lot of parents would say, yes, there's a huge problem. There's a huge problem with fighting in school.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, I know parents are very concerned.
Yeah.
I know they're concerned about what kids are reading. You know, a lot of people feel that we're moving towards censorship. As I have not been keeping up with the school board meetings, I know I can't really say, but the few that I've watched, they've become extremely contentious.
Yeah.
Extremely. And this upcoming election is, I think it's this May 17th, is
yeah.
going to be, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. You know, the sad thing about school board elections, though, not many people vote.
Right, because it's in May. It seems like...
It's in May, and you know the largest part of school employees, teachers, and others are going to vote for the budget. If you have a problem with something
yes.
on the budget, And then if the budget doesn't pass, what do they threaten? Well, we're going to eliminate sports.
Austerity.
Or we're
going to
eliminate music. And you need, children need that.
Right.
I would rather them say, because I got to admit that I don't vote on a school board budget. And I told the superintendent one time at a dinner meeting that I was at, and he was there. And, you know, I introduced myself, and I said, you know, honestly, I don't vote for school budget. And he said, well, that's, you should. You're a taxpayer. And I said, the only time I'll start voting for a school budget is if you start cutting administrative costs. Get rid of some of these vice principals. You got so much top-heavy administrations, and you threaten to eliminate kids' programs. I said, I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't know.
Well,
but yeah, I should.
Well, administrators, it's just like there's so much that the state requires the schools to do now. So they need all these people to make sure they're doing them, plus the discipline problems.
Right.
A lot of the assistant principals, that's all they deal with all day. Kids doing, you know, doing the drugs in the bathroom or fighting each other in the hallways.
But I know they have, I don't know how many, and there may only be one, a resource officer.
They have two. One in the high school, one in the middle school.
Maybe they should think about, you know, eliminating a $150,000 administrator and having two more of those people in to.
Yeah, but I don't know, because they're there to help with discipline as well. But their way of discipline is different than, say, you know, an administrator who's going to say, "Do you need a social worker? You know, what's going on in your household? Are you homeless?" I mean, unfortunately, schools have turned into these places where they have to parent.
Yeah, well,
kids.
I know.
It's terrible.
I know. It is terrible.
I mean, so it's a tough problem.
Yeah, when I went to school, I mean, that was in the day where if a teacher contacted the parent, not only did you get punished at school, but when you got home, you know, you were punished too. And I don't think that's the way it is today.
No. Parents always say their kids are right, no matter what their kid does.
Right. I mean, that's every generation does, I think, gets a little lax. Yeah. And then today you have two parents working.
That's another thing.
So the child is home a lot
kids,
more.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, it's a hard thing, I know. But I don't know.
It's a totally different culture than when were in school.
But you know what? Here again, I'm more involved in city politics because within charter change, you know a little bit more about things to keep yourself up on what's going on. So when you go for things like charter change, you can talk with, you know, a little bit of knowledge, where I know nothing about school district. I don't immerse myself in that, and that's my bad. I mean, you know, we brought our daughters, we sent them to parochial school. I went to parochial school until, you know, I went to Catholic school until 10th grade. Then I went to public school, and I was glad I did, you know. But, you know, we always thought that Saratoga schools were starting to get a little more lax back when my kids went. So, and we wanted more discipline for them. So, and it worked. I had two great girls, don't get me wrong. They weren't like Banshees where you had to.
Right. I'm sure they weren't.
But, you know, like you say, I think every generation gets harder and harder to be a parent and harder with more laws being relaxed on what you can do and what children want. And it's hard. But, you know, the part about censoring, I think if, you know, what do you consider censoring to a middle school or even younger school? What are you censoring? You know,
I don't
and that's
know.
The tough part.
Yeah, I don't know what. I know there's talk in the high school. I don't know in the middle school. But again, I haven't been keeping up on it. But I know there is a ton of money this year being spent.
Yeah.
In the school district.
On curriculum.
On the school board vote.
They're
getting a lot of robocalls. Have you gotten any of those calls?
Actually, no.
Okay.
I did though back when when was it, a few years ago when Robin Belton was in charge of the group that was had raised so much money?
Yes.
Each candidate, I think, was spending $40,000, $50,000.
They're spending a lot of money again.
Are they? And you know what? When you think about it, for a school board member to spend that much money, I mean, what is the city getting to? Even in our commissioners, so much money now is being spent to get a $14,500 job.
I know.
And the responsibility that they have. And I just don't understand. It was never that way before. Never. I mean, you may have spent $10,000,
right.
$9,000. Plus, the school is every year, or the school board usually is every year. Because they rotate. I mean, they don't change the whole board.
Yeah, they stagger, right.
But in the city, you got a two-year election. So you're elected after spending all that money, and then you're in for a year. The next year, you got to start all over running again, and you need that much more money.
Yes, exactly.
It just gets out of hand, I think, for a small city.
Right. Yes. And the developers, it's interesting, though, because for years, the developers were the ones that gave most of the money. And
right.
They haven't been winning.
No, they haven't. And we're talking about tens and tens and tens of thousands. And now, now they even, in the last one, they even got the unions in, the steam fitters union, the plumbers union.
Yes.
And I think the developers had gotten them involved.
Right,
I'm sure
these are
the going to
be jobs.
Yeah.
If we build, you'll get a job.
Oh, yeah. Now they're talking about building a huge complex out by the mall. I was just reading in the paper, and they're going to be high-end luxury apartments. And so every little postage stamp piece of property now in Saratoga,
right.
They're building a condo on because they can go up, not, spread out like homes. And, it's just,
the folks
know.
That live out by the mall are fighting that.
As well they
as
should.
Well as the people, near Congress Park are fighting the building across the street, that other building.
I know. And, the sad thing about that, too, I think now, because you go to the council meetings, and I think it's that project where there was an engineer that said they're going down to the aquifer.
Yes.
And because they need the parking garage down.
Right.
And he said that could have an effect on all the springs in the city.
Yes.
And that's what we're known for. I mean, we shouldn't be known for high-rises.
Right, I know.
And we still have the springs. And if they drill down to put a parking garage and it disrupts all of our springs, I mean, that's bad.
Yes.
And
the engineer was saying that, this kind of construction is done like they did it for the Twin Towers in New York City. But he said to do it, they cleared the whole entire area.
Yeah.
It's not like they have, Spa Catholic right next door.
Yeah.
And
you have
the bank and Saratoga Hospital mental health offices.
Well, the problem too is that there's a lot of bedrock in Saratoga.
Yes, so
and
it's
they have
be
to blast. They have to dynamite
blasting
that.
Right next to a school.
I know. And right next to a mental health.
Right.
I mean, I just don't understand it. We have no. Back when Ken Klotz was finance commissioner, he was a guest speaker at our Kiwanis meeting. Now, this was back, in the 80s maybe? And I said to him back then, because Saratoga was starting to build out, and back then it was expensive in the 80s. I mean, what I paid for my house at the time was expensive. Today, it would be a shack price, you know what I mean? But I said to him, I said, Mr. Klotz, why doesn't Saratoga have managed growth? Because he got talking about how any development you build taps into an old infrastructure, water lines, sewer lines. And he said, then the more population you get, the more police and more fire you need. And I said, well, why don't they adopt a managed growth? And he said, we want the tax money. And
that's the philosophy throughout the county.
Yeah.
People who live over in Saratoga Lake are disgusted, too.
Well, they got that project that's going up. I forget what they call it, but Saratoga Lake people are dead set against
it.
Yes,
and it's happening all over Saratoga Lake. In Malta, Stillwater, town of Saratoga.
Yeah.
And Saratoga Springs. And, you know, and that, it's, yeah.
I just don't understand where all these people are coming from that can come in and buy. I mean, these condos start out, even small ones, at $550,000, $600,000. Where are these people getting their money from? I mean, you know, hey,
I'm
you can.
I'm assuming they're all retirees.
I would think so.
Yeah.
But then they're not here in the wintertime.
Right. And also, there's just no housing for people who work in the city.
No.
So they live in Corinth or Glens Falls.
And now how much gas does it take to, right. for a dishwasher in a restaurant who has to live out of Saratoga because he can't afford, I mean, apartments are even $1,800, $1,900 a month, if not more. How, and so what's it cost them to get to work at a minimum wage job, or now maybe more because businesses have to pay more money now because it's hard, you know, they need employees. How can you drive 35, 40 miles a day and make,
right, for a
minimum wage job? I mean, it's unreal today.
Yes. And right. So, you know, we're welcoming all of these people with money into the city, but the ones that are going to keep the people with money happy,
yeah.
you know, at restaurants and hotels and
right.
aren't here.
They're doing it. And we're getting an increase in homeless population.
Oh, homeless.
The homeless population is overtaking the city.
Yes.
They're not getting the help they need.
Right.
I mean, a lot of it, I feel, is drug, alcohol, or mental health issues.
Yes.
And you can't blame that on anybody. Those are the issues that they have, but they're not getting the help for that.
Right.
And it's just growing and growing because they've either been pushed out of a low-income apartment, which we don't have many of in Saratoga. And
yeah.
It's just a chain effect that...
Yeah, it's sad, especially because so many of them are veterans.
I know it. It really is. It really is sad. But, you know, here again, I may be wrong on our Commissioner of Public Safety, but I think he is, this was Michael Phillips last week was saying that he wants to institute a veterans
court, which is a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I do, too. I think doing things out of the box a little bit for people that need the help, you know, you may have to look at it at a different point of view as maybe somebody robbing a store.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we do need to change some of our philosophies today to accommodate a growing homeless population. A lot of cities don't have that. But
right.
if you do, you know, change your rules a little bit so that you can help them, and
yeah.
they don't, you know, I don't know. A friend of mine, I got to just tell you a funny story, 6 minutes left. A friend of mine works at a mobile mart, and he works the 10 o'clock to 5 in the morning shift. The other night, two guys came to get gas, and they drove off with the pump handle still in the gas tank, pulled the hose off of the gas pump, and instead of just stopping, they drove away with it, and he was thinking that they may have been drug dealers, that they didn't want to stop because possibly he would have called the police and whatever. But here the hose is dragging down the road, and thank goodness today they've got shutoffs where your gas doesn't pump out.
Oh,
you know,
that's
20
good,
years,
I'm
30 years ago. Oh, yeah.
Flooded with gas yeah. and blow up.
Half the city would blow up.
yeah.
But no, he said they have spring-loaded traps now, so they all start flipping closed so the gas can't come out. But can you imagine?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Want to get into special election.
Yes.
Commissioner Scirocco passed away.
Yes.
And it's not up to the parties to appoint, but it's up to the council. And we have a Democratic council. All the members of the commissioners are Democratic. So it was a given that they're going to appoint a Democrat. I mean, and
they would appoint Tommy McTighe.
Yeah.
Or not Tommy, I'm sorry, Billy.
Billy, oh, gosh. I don't know. But it's, and you know what? You have that right, and you should exercise it. You know, why, at whatever. But they had, I think, only two. To choose from, there were three Democrats, two Republicans?
Two Democrats, one Republican.
Oh, okay, all right. So they appointed a fellow, Jason Golub. Okay. Yep. And who's an attorney?
Yes,
and,
another attorney for city council.
Yeah, another, yeah. So you got to qualify as an attorney now to run for city council, I guess.
So.
But young fella who's got some good ideas, he was on a commission. What commission was he on?
He was on the police reform task force.
Okay. And they said he was very knowledgeable.
Yes.
And
we'll see what happens. But he'll run against Skip Scirocco's son, Anthony Scirocco.
This year.
Yes,
an off election year. But I guess you have to run by the next election when you fill in for someone. And then he'll be elected, or the person will be elected for 1 year. And then have to run again in the general election next year.
So we have more elections coming.
Yeah. I tell you, gosh, more money being spent.
Yes, I'm sure.
Donate that money, people. You know?
Yes.
I mean, you can count that as maybe a charity donation or
right,
something. You know? I mean, oh, my gosh. So I don't know much about him. Do you know from him?
Well, he's an attorney with GE who's, you know, I think he's got a lot of administrative experience.
Okay.
So... but again, not any legislative experience, but
you know, what I think is the legislative experience is probably a little bit easier than the job itself, because you should have some knowledge of a department that you're ahead of. And this, unfortunately, I feel elections are popularity contests, because you're going to elect the person that's more charismatic and
That's true.
And, you know, I mean, I always said that John Kennedy got elected because of that, but he ended up becoming one of my favorite presidents. Mm-hmm. People may disagree with me, and they may have disagreed with my next favorite president, which I thought Ronald Reagan was one of the good presidents, too. But I think you should be a little bit qualified. Like I said, he may be the best administrator, and he may be a very capable
public works. Yes, but he doesn't have deep PW experience.
Right.
The other two did.
Yeah, the other two did. So let's see what happens. I wish him well, and I hope he does a great job.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he's only got 1 year to be in, so and that's kind of tough.
Right.
So,
well, not even 6 months. I mean, once the election comes, it's going to be November.
Right. But he's got 6 months to
prove
be
himself,
in, to prove
guess,
himself.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
And you know, then the election comes. But I don't know. What are you going to do? I wish him the best, though, because he'll need it. And but I, like you said, he's got a little bit of the administrative part. And I wouldn't be worried if I was him about legislating.
Yeah. It's just understanding DPW, which is a complex, huge department.
Well, you know, the two largest departments are public safety and public works.
Right.
And public works may even be a little bigger. I'm not sure.
They have about 120 employees.
Okay.
I think public safety has more because they have fire department, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Fire department comes under them. So, you know, like I said, I think he'll be able in the 6 months before the election to gain experience, and people will get to know him. Where if he was running off the street in November, who is he?
That's true.
And so that's that. Anything
we'll
you want
to
add?
No, that's
all
it.
All right. Well,
thank
we have
you,
1 minute to go, so I want to enter. Yeah, you're going to be on again, too.
Yes,
all this
of course.
Stuff is going to be
I know.
Still well, here.
Yes.
So. I want to, that's it for Talk Saratoga. I want to thank everybody for being with us today. And I want to introduce now, as everybody's waiting for Homer to be on, but Homer Charbonneau and his 3 hours of fantastic music. And you got a great personality person coming in now. So, Homer.
Where?
He's out in the front there. No,
okay,
but
I'll go get him.
All right, you have a great day, okay?
Thank you, Rick.